Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. Of course, with me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so look for a brand new one of those tomorrow morning. But, you know, swing out by there, check it out. You never know what's going to pop up. You know, weird things happen over there. So, you know, just visit there every once in a while. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we'd really appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan, we made it with 3 years.
So Dan and I were talking about our FanDuel experiences from last night, and we had the exact opposite experience. I was right on with Jeff Samardzija. I honestly didn't look at the other pitchers or anything, but I'm not sure if there was another pitcher who had a better outing. Samardzija went for, come on, Internet, don't fail me now. He went for 52 points last night. So let me see. Dan, he had a complete game. Look at that. 9 innings. Of course, he got the quality start. Marked only 5 strikeouts, but he did get the win. So that totaled up the 52 points there. The frightening thing is Jeff Samardzija scored 52 points. As a team, I scored 88.4 points.
Wow.
Yeah, I had 4 guys take zeros, and I only had 1 guy find his way into double figures. That was Trey Mancini at 15.4. So, I thought I had some good hitters going into last night, and boy, man, it did not work out my way at all. But, hey, what the hell? Load it up. I'll try it again. See what we got going on. Today I decided I'm going to go with Jake Arrieta. He's a little pricey, but I like the matchup. It's going to cost $9,900, but I'm going with Jake. He's the second highest pitcher on the board. I think Chris Sale is high. So, you know, of course, that means you end up in a little bit of scramble mode right away. But I'm going to go back to Mike Zunino of the Mariners as my catcher. He cost me $2,900. He's hitting 8th. He did put up 6 points for me last night. I would love to see him double that tonight. Oddly, I ended up with back-to-back Mariners to start as my first baseman is Yonder Alonso. He's hitting 2nd for Seattle tonight. He cost me $3,300. Second base, I went with Neil Walker of the Brewers. Cost me $3,200. He's hit 2nd for them tonight. Third base, I'm on Justin Turner of the Dodgers. He cost me $3,500. He's hitting 3rd for them. Over at shortstop, I like Tim Beckham tonight. He's going to lead off for the Orioles. He cost me $3,800. Then in the outfield, I went with Andrew Benintendi for $3,500. He's hitting 3rd for the Red Sox. That cost me $3,500. Rajay Davis, back-to-back Red Sox tier. He's leading off for the Red Sox tonight. Yes, Rajay Davis is now a Red Sox, in case you were wondering. He cost me $2,500 there. And then I wrap my lineup up. And this, sometimes, Dan, you get the names in the lineup that you just never thought you'd ever say again. I actually wrap my lineup up with Alejandro Deaza, former White Sox. He cost me $2,400, and he's hitting 2nd for the Nationals tonight. So I'm hoping there's some pretty good value there, and I can capitalize on him being in the top of the order of a pretty good offense. So we'll see. But recapping, I got Jake Arrieta pitching, Mike Zunino catching, Yonder Alonso at 1st, Neil Walker at 2nd, Justin Turner at 3rd, Tim Beckham at short, and the outfield is Andrew Benintendi, Rajay Davis, and Alejandro Deaza. Did you put your free roll together?
Of course. I there yet because, you know, that would work for the most part. I really wanted to go with Sale, but every time I pick him, he has worse and worse games. So I rolled down the line to my guy, Dylan Bundy, over there at 8,700. I rolled the dice with the eighth spot, Tucker Barnhart. And then, you know, the next couple guys ran in the lineup, Joe Mauer, the Twins. And I didn't realize until now, but I picked it for him yesterday and then yesterday. I don't know if it's better or bad, but I went with third base, Manny Bird, Evan Longoria. From the dice, I had Tommy Baez, like short and Manny Gates. And then my outfield, Andrew Benintendi, Adam Duvall, and Chris Taylor. I'm hoping my Red Sox have a good night, or at least a good two-hit game against former Cup Red Anderson. Did he even pitch for the Cup Red Anderson? Playing? I don't know.
Yes. Yeah, he made some starts for you. He came out of training camp with number five guys. Yeah, and what are they? The 6:05 tonight is the start time for the league. So you got about a little over 28 minutes to get your lineup set and, you know, get it in. So good luck. I know there have already been a couple rainouts. I know the Yankees, Indians are rained out, and I believe the Braves and the Braves and the Phillies. Okay, yeah, because I know there was kind of rain floating around. So you got to look out for that kind of stuff. But you know, Dan, I ran into a little bit of an issue today with some of the lovely reporting that's going on, and I saw basically the same title used on a couple of different shows, and they're calling the Texas Rangers selfish. All right, now, of course, you know, we all know what's going on in Texas and, you know, what Houston was affected by with the tropical storm, and I saw that one of the towns there set a record for getting over, like, 51 inches of rain. You know, the Astros were on the road while this was going on. Now, they were supposed to come home tonight to play the Rangers. This would be the return of the road trip. Now, obviously, with the situation there, that's not going to happen. The Rangers actually offered to swap series and host in Texas there at their ballpark in Arlington. The Astros didn't want to do that, so the series got moved to Tropicana Field in Texas. I did hear that all tickets are $10 and they're all general admission, so there's no assigned seating. You just go and sit wherever you want. But, you know, the media really kind of jumped on the Rangers and started pointing fingers at them about playing this series. And, you know, I get it, in a perfect world, you would say, okay, let's forget these three games. We'll just write them off. Now, of course, the problem with that is, A, no team wants to give up their revenue, and that's the Astros included, even though the situation just happened there. But B, Dan, the Rangers are only three games out of the American League wild card. Now, you know, you can't reschedule these till the end of the year because obviously that would push everything back. So that's not going to happen. I don't know if Texas has three makeup dates in their schedule, but I kind of feel like the Rangers are being unfairly judged for this and, you know, almost being made to look like a scapegoat for having to play these games in Tampa.
So, you know, they have another series.
Did you what? You broke up a little there.
Did they not have another Slater this season or this month?
That's, yeah, I'll pull it up. You would think they would because they're in the same division, but I guess maybe not because I think the Yankees and Red Sox are done. But let me see here. Okay, the end of August, we got at Houston. They meet again. There's a three. Yeah, 27th. So I don't know why I don't understand why they just didn't switch him, which is what the Rangers offered. You know, but that is going to be one of the things where they're playing in Tampa, but Houston's the home team. Yeah, now I am getting another report here. There's an article here that says the Rangers declined the series swap. I originally heard it was the other way around. Now, if this one's true, then I'm not as on the Rangers' side as I was, because baseball should have stepped in and said, hey, you're swapping these series. So...
Well, yeah, I think you're right. Baseball should have stepped in. I mean, I don't know. It does mess up ticket sales, I guess you could say. Because, I mean, we can't short notice like that. All the people that bought the tickets for the end of the month. I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, in a way, I see some of the Rangers' concern, and their general manager, John Daniels, said they had concerns for the fans who bought tickets like you brought up. Then he also didn't like the fact that if they swapped series, four of their last five series would be on the road. With this kind of situation, I can't side with them here. You can eat a little money by refunding those ticket holders and just having walk-up business or whatever you've got to do for these three series, these three games. I'm not buying it. And by the time you get to those last series, there's a chance you're out of the playoffs anyways. So, instead of doing what they did, they needed to do the right thing, and sadly they didn't, or it appears they did. Which is disappointing. I always kind of liked Texas as an organization, but obviously now they got this list, and they'll end up on kind of the classless organizations that sadly they look like are. Say the Astros home field. I don't know what it's called now. Is it still Minute Maid? I don't. I can't remember the damn sponsor names and everything. I just don't Astrodome anymore. But apparently, it didn't sustain damage, so it's going to be okay to play once they can finally get this all straightened out. And obviously, it's going to take a while. I believe the. Kind of no target date on when the Astros will return home now. Obviously they were supposed to play this series at home, and I think they're supposed to play their next one at home. That's going to be questionable depending on how things kind of shake out. It looks like they're supposed to host the Mets Labor Day weekend. So I don't know how that's gonna work out in this kind of situation. If they didn't play these three games, it wouldn't be that big a deal because the Mets aren't a playoff contender, and I don't think the Astros are in any verge of losing the top spot in the AL West. So if you had to scrap these three games, I would understand it. But we'll see what baseball decides or Houston decides. you know, Bjork decides or whatever somebody decides. But, you know, again, horrible situation. You know, it's just, you know, as weird as it is, one of those things kind of, you know, kind of happens. You know, we get, you know, hurricanes quite a lot all over the world. And this one's just been terrible, the amount of rain that got dropped on there. I mean, the pictures are just horrific. And I actually have a friend from work who transferred down there just at the beginning of the new year. But so far, you know, her and her family are okay. So, you know, luckily, you know, that worked out for them. But it's just, sadly, you know, sports has to move on. You know, baseball's got to keep going. We've got, you know, we got to play these games. It's limited schedule. You know, we just stretch it out. It would be great if we could just say, hey, let's push it back 3 days. But just doesn't work like that, unfortunately. So, I don't know. Would you have had a more of a heavier hand if you were the baseball commissioner and made them switch, or are you okay with playing in Tampa?
I think I would have had a heavier hand in that situation. But, you know, it has no effect on pace of play, so security, right?
Yeah, you know.
One of those, that's what I'm here about. Swapping series doesn't speed up the game, so it doesn't make it through at my desk.
Yeah. You know, then I don't know, you know, if you caught up with this one, Dan, but apparently is going to announce his retirement on Friday, and he's going to do it with the Minnesota Twins.
It again.
I said, apparently on Friday night, Joe Nathan is going to announce his retirement, and he's going to do it with the Twins on Friday. So now I believe he is 40 or 41? He's actually 42. So, you know, he started way back in 99. His career spanned, you know, 16 years. Was originally a starter for two seasons. Believe it or not, Danny made 29 career starts for the Giants before switching to the bullpen. He's got 377 career saves. You know, obviously he had a extremely short stint with the Cubs, where he did go 1-0 and not give up any runs over a couple innings last season. But he hasn't pitched in the majors this year. You know, I believe he was bouncing around AAA with, it might have been the Nationals. And he just finally decided to pack it in. But, you know, he was a, you know, six-time All-Star. He had 4 years of over 40 saves, with his tops being 47 in 2009. You know, I know closers don't get a lot of respect, Dan, when it comes to Hall of Fame, probably with the exception of Mariano Rivera, who will go probably charging in on his first ballot when he's eligible here in the not-too-distant future. But, you know, these aren't bad career numbers. Do you think with the changing pitching philosophy, a guy like Nathan gets a little closer look as you know, the years go on?
I think he gets a closer look. I mean, but where do his saves compare to the rest? Mariano.
Yeah, let me,
you know, the other guy.
Let me ping that for you, and I'll be able to tell you. Let me get that, grab that right here for you. We have, of course, Mariano on top at 652. Nathan actually currently comes in at eighth place. So here's the guys he's behind. Mariano, who we think is going in. I believe Trevor Hoffman is in. Lee Smith, who's not.
Yeah.
K-Rod, who's still playing. I don't believe John Franco or Billy Wagner are in. But right in front of him is Dennis Eckersley at 390, and he's in. You know, of course, Eck had success as a starter as well.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's hard to believe. hard to believe Lee Smith has 478 career saves. He's third on the list, and he can't get in the Hall of Fame. But, yeah, I just, you know, I wonder, you know, like I said, as pitching goes and it kind of changes, I don't know. Do these guys kind of get reconsidered and, you know, re-looked at a little bit where, you know, especially in today's game where, you know, you need that bullpen. I mean, you know, after the fifth inning, everybody's already looking at the bullpen. So will we, you know, will we see maybe a different, you know, I don't know, emphasis on it possibly, or do you think it'll, you know, or what, or do you think it's going to depend on if we get the voters to change? Cause you know, those guys kind of go in and out.
I think it needs the voters to change, but I mean, it all also depends on who else is on the ballot at the time. Remember, that's the big factor.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes now, do you think that has more of an effect than a lot of the other stuff? You know, cause I think it's not required that you have to vote for 10 names, but you know, if you're looking for those names and it's just kind of like, okay, what are we doing or how are we doing this? I mean, you end up throwing one of these guys on and all of a sudden everybody ends up doing the same thing and here you are.
Pretty much. I mean, I don't know. I feel like the end of his career is what hurts him. Joe Nathan.
Yeah, you know, he may have hung on a little too long, but you know, I mean, I don't know. Can we fault him for, you know,
hung
doing
on?
Something?
I mean, he couldn't play. He was injured for like the last two seasons. He should have wrapped it up before even when the Cubs picked him up. I mean, he was done. Like sometimes you just have to know when it's time to go home.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, we kind of see that a lot with athletes, you know, the guys who just kind of end up, you know, hanging on a little bit too long. And, you know, I mean, a lot of people will point out, you know, one of the greatest players of all time is Willie Mays. You know, when he played that final season with the Mets was just horrendous. You know, Mike Schmidt kind of went through that with the Phillies. I think he walked away in the middle of the season. Because he was just having such a bad go of it. But I guess, you know, obviously never being in that position, I guess it's kind of tough to give that up. I mean, if they're calling you to, you know, if they're calling you to come pitch, you go pitch, right?
Yeah.
Or at least
true.
You try. So. Yeah, you know, I mean, just kind of how it goes. Oh, but here you go, Dan. This will be fun for you. I caught this article on the Mickey Mouse website, and it's the World Series matchups we would most and least want to see. All right, now obviously they're all playoff contenders. Here's the ones they're saying they would not like to see. So tell me what you think of these. The first one they go with is the Minnesota Twins against the Colorado Rockies. Now the reason being, here you go, Dan, in Minnesota, the average October temperature is 40 degrees. In Denver, it's 36. Do you want to see that? I would like to see that personally. But, you know.
I would like. You know, I mean, that's a pretty lame reason to put it on the weather. So, you know, that's all about the broadcasters or the media. They don't want to wear jackets.
So, all right. Now, the next one, and I, you know, obviously the writer has his own reasons for it. The Kansas City Royals against the Chicago Cubs. The writer, and I don't have his name in front of me, believes this would be anticlimactic no matter which team wins. I know it's kind of unfair to ask you about the Cubs because you're happy with any Cubs World Series, but as a fan, you know, what would you kind of think of that?
I mean, anticlimactic. It's one of the big journalistic words, huh?
I'm going to try to use that blog.
I mean, again, here's another series that might not, will definitely garner more national attention than, say, Rockies Twins. But you still have a huge Cubs following. And, you know, it would be cool to get a back-to-back. We haven't had that in a while to begin with. And the Royals, it would be, you know, something cool for Kansas City if they were in it again.
Now this is an interesting one because the only reason he says he doesn't want to see this is because the matchup was supposed to happen back in 2003, the Boston Red Sox and the Chicago Cubs.
Well, I mean, that kind of gives you all the more reason to want to see it now. Cause it was supposed to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I would think, you know, Theo's ex team against Theo's new team. I think everybody would kind of want to see that. I mean, you know, it's two of the top franchises in baseball. But, you know, again, to each his own. We move on here, and it's becoming slowly apparent that there are certain teams this writer doesn't like. The next one is the Boston Red Sox and the St. Louis Cardinals. He mentions that he doesn't believe the country could stomach another showdown between two of the whiniest fan bases in baseball.
I didn't know both of these were whiny fan bases.
Yes. all right, and then he wraps it up. Now, these are the ones that he doesn't want to see. The last one is the New York Yankees versus the St. Louis Cardinals. Specifically, he says an all wild card World Series would suck. He mentions that these franchises already have too many titles and certainly wouldn't deserve one in a season which they didn't even win a division title.
Well, number one, a couple years back, 2014, the Giants and the Royals were both division for wild card. Were they not? So,
the Giants and and that was a pretty good World Series.
that was an amazing World Series. And if the teams aren't deserving of it, then why do we have a wild card? So again, here's a guy who has a job. Here's a guy who works for the mothership and is doing all he can to write articles so that he doesn't get fired also.
Now these are the ones he says matchups that wouldn't be awful. I'm not even going to have you comment on him. I'm just going to tell you what he said here. I want to get to the ones that he thinks would be awesome. He's got Tampa Bay against Los Angeles, Texas against Colorado, Seattle against Milwaukee. Then he's got the Angels against the Dodgers, and then the Orioles and the Nationals. Now, he says those wouldn't be completely bad. These are the ones that he said would be completely awesome if they matched up here. He starts with the Yankees and the Dodgers. All right, now obviously, if you're old like I am, you remember in 1977 and 1978 that these teams faced off in back-to-back World Series. That, of course, one of those games featured what, Dan? Three home runs by who in a game? Huh?
Clint Frazier?
maybe this year. That would be Reggie Jackson, folks. Reggie hit three bombs in a game, so that would be interesting. Obviously, you know, this would be a great matchup of two fantastic teams, right? I mean, we couldn't say anything bad here, right?
Well, no, because one of them would be a wild card winner, so it would dumb it down, wouldn't it? According to what he said earlier.
Well, it's weird. He said that earlier the Yankees didn't deserve it because they were a wild card, but here he's got it awesome if they play the Dodgers, so... I guess it kind of depends how you look at it. I'm a little surprised he went back with this one, but he thinks it would be awesome if we had a rematch, the Cleveland Indians against the Chicago Cubs. Now, oddly, Dan, we haven't had a rematch since what I just mentioned, 77-78. You want to see the Indians and the Cubs go at it again?
Only if LeBron goes to all the games. Well, at least the first quarter.
And where's his game? And where's his game? All right. The next one involving the Indians here. He thinks it would be awesome if the Indians got to face the Washington Nationals.
That would be a good series.
This was the one right away. I'm surprised he didn't start with this because this could be a really, really kind of – this would be it. The last one he goes with is the Houston Astros versus the Los Angeles Dodgers.
That would be – I mean, I would say I'd watch it, but even if it was, you know, the Brewers versus the Twins, I'd watch the World Series. So.
I mean, we're watching – you know, even if it was the matchup he really hated, you know, if it's the Twins and the Rockies, I'm still watching as much of the games as I can watch. You know, there's no doubt about this. But just to give credit, this was David Schoenfeld, who's listed as an ESPN senior writer, is the guy who – and now, again, this is just an opinion. So, you know, we – you know, but it's always kind of interesting to kind of see who does what or who likes what when they're kind of going through these things. But, you know, just his idea, not Dan and mine's idea. Dan and I would like, you know, obviously Dan would prefer the Cubs in. I would like to see the Cubs and the Mariners, Dan. That's what I'm rooting for, if the Mariners can get in, even though they're a wild card. So... you know, that would be just fine for me. And then, you know, if they could beat the Cubs, and we would have to, you know, stop being friends. So, now, you know, I heard the other kind of, you know, I guess we'll call it interesting, at least to me, maybe to you. You know, the Miami Marlins have been playing a lot better. Believe it or not, they've actually gotten themselves over 500. They're 66-64. You know, I guess you could call them back in the wild card race. They're 4.5 games out. They are the fourth team. It's, you know, Diamondback, Rockies, Brewers, then Marlins. You know, with the exception of Mike Trout, because we always know what's going to happen there. If the Marlins end up with a winning record, Dan, is Giancarlo Stanton the National League MVP?
He should be the MVP no matter what. But yes.
I found it kind of interesting that, you know, we didn't really hear much of, you know, his name. You know, obviously they talked about him while he was streaking and hitting, you know, every single pitch he saw out of the ballpark. But yeah, nobody kind of mentioned him as an MVP candidate until just a day or two ago. I heard his name finally start to pop up when I realized the Marlins were kind of back in the wild card race. And I'm trying to think, you know, off the top of my head. I mean, obviously, you know, Charlie Blackman's going to be, an MVP contender. You know, Colorado's having a real good year. You know, I'm still wondering if they're just finally going to break down and give it to Paul Goldschmidt after all these years, you know, of him being right there and kind of not being on a winning team. I don't know. Is there enough there? I mean, you know, I know Justin Turner's having a real good year, but you got to wonder if he's going to play enough games, even as good as the Dodgers are. And then some people might say he's not even the best player on his own team. I don't know. Is there anybody else who pops in your head besides those couple of guys that you think they would consider or look at?
Just Bryce Harper and Mike Trout. I don't think anyone else matters, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think we know Trout is getting the American League one regardless. You know, that's already, I think that's already been kind of confirmed regardless of what kind of year anybody else has. I believe it's, you know, they're just going to continue to give it to him no matter what. But, you know, at least the National League is kind of interesting. I mean, at least you got some candidates.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like Giancarlo stands out the most, regardless of being on a winning team or not.
Yeah, you know, obviously he's definitely having a fantastic run here. So,
you know, I'm my definition, what I thought is most valuable player of the National League, not most valuable player of the National League on the team with the best wins, or, you know, with a winning record or a playoff winning record.
Yeah.
Or, you know, extend it.
Yeah, you know, I've always kind of felt that, you know, the award should go to the guy who's the best player. You know what I mean? You can tell me whatever you want. I mean, Mike Trout did deserve the award last year. You'll never convince me otherwise. You know, I lost complete respect for all those idiots when they tried to give him the award when Miggy went for the Triple Crown. And, you know, they started bringing up how Trout was a better defender and a better base runner. When the game is really, and then it's odd though, because now stolen bases mean nothing, but they needed it to make their point back then, so they became important again. You know, so I've completely lost all respect for those guys when they start talking about Mike Trout and MVP, because I just know they're going to do whatever they can to give it to him. And, you know, it's kind of become a complete joke. Oddly,
the other part of the joke is, it's become to that level where national broadcasts make that mark now. Well, he's just going to win it anyway.
Yeah.
Why are we even talking about
it? Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I think a lot of the problem is the voters are relying too much on what sabermetrics tell them and not what actual on-field play tells them. You know, because oddly, if you've been watching the entire season, the honest, the truth guy who probably deserves the MVP award is Marwin Gonzalez of the Astros. You know, he saved that team countless times. You know, when they didn't have anybody to play first base, he stepped in and played first. Now Carlos Correa is injured. He's playing shortstop. I think he's played both corner outfielders, probably some third. You know, I mean, he's done just incredibly admirable job on a team with a fantastic record. But you know, they're not looking for that kind of stuff because sabermetrically he doesn't rank. It's just what he's done on the field that really should count. And I honestly don't know how many of these guys watch games anymore. I think they just take the box score and plug the numbers in and then just go off of what the numbers tell them it should be. You know, in a way, it kind of kills the game. I mean, they've already killed it on the field because nobody can do the fundamentals anymore batting. You know, you can't hit behind a runner. Guys can't sacrifice bunt. Nobody can make contact with two strikes. It's pretty much an automatic strikeout. So, you know, we might as well screw everything else up. So, but it looks like here, Dan, we got 2 days for teams to make trades. And two interesting names made it through waivers the last couple days. Oddly, Miggy made it through. I guess maybe I'm not surprised because he does have, you know, quite a bit of money on his contract. Do you, now, you know, even the report says no deal is expected, but is there a chance somebody comes calling for Miggy?
Maybe the Dodgers? For the hell of it?
Well, I guess it would depend on how Bellinger is, right? I mean, if there's an issue with him, you know, possibly, you know, being extended, you know, that being a longer injury than perceived, you could possibly do that. But yeah, I would be shocked if you know, Miggy ended up getting moving. But the other name I thought was really interesting, your guy and the pitcher I used last night, Jeff Samardzija, made it through waivers. Now, I believe He does have a no trade clause in his contract, I believe. And he's in the first year of a pretty big money deal. I know we've always been a little jaded on Samardzija because, you know, the Cubs pushed him as a number one and that never really materialized. And to be fair, I don't really think he's had that great of a season with the Giants. Are you, again, if you're a contender, I mean, you know, obviously you pitched pretty well against it was the Padres. You got to kind of take that for, you know, what it's worth. But I mean, I depending on what they want, are you looking at Jeff Samardzija?
I mean, if you want to cough up $40 million, or no, we're going roughly $60 million, so $54 million. No, did my math wrong. Yeah, no, $54 million over the next 3 years. That's something you'd have to really think about. And to kind of bounce back to Mickey, he signed at $30 million a year through 2025, so he's not getting. There's nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing's happening.
When you see the names like that, it's always kind of interesting. You know, you're kind of like, oh, hey, this guy made it through. I wonder if we'll see him go anywhere. But, yeah, I honestly don't think we're going to see either of those guys move. I don't know if we'll see, anybody really from here on out. Maybe we get a couple minor trades here and there, but I don't know. What about you? Do you think we'll see any big or even semi-big time names get moved?
No, I think everyone's kind of settled in, unless, of course, all the teams that inquired about Giancarlo are able to make that happen. I think, if anything, that would be obviously the biggest one, but I don't see that happening. I mean, with Jeff Samardzija, he obviously doesn't have the wins. That doesn't count anymore. But you're looking at a guy who can give you roughly 200 innings a season and 170, minimum strikeouts. So, I mean, but I think the $50 million would be a little rough to take on for the next 3 years. I think next year, if he gets put in that position again, you might see him move. Hopefully for him, he has a better season next year.
Hopefully for you, because you'll probably end up with him. Oh, so.
Yeah, I probably will.
Yeah.
Oh, Jeff Samardzija.
The last big thing I heard ball talk wise today, apparently, everybody has to go to Japan or get to Japan for Thursday's game. I know they made a big deal that Brian Cashman was headed over there. That Japanese phenom, I believe it's Shohei Ohtani is how you pronounce it. He's actually going to pitch. He's had some injury issues, so he's only pitched like 11 or 12 innings this season. He's the big time two-way player that all the teams are kind of hot on. I actually heard, and I wish I remember who I heard say it today, suggest that if a team signs him, they should start him one day and then let him DH the other four. Now, obviously, this is only if he's in the American League. The National League obviously can't do that, but, we've seen a lot of these guys come and go. Now, this guy is young. He's only he just turned 23 in July. Are you that interested in him? I mean, I'm looking at his numbers here. He's a .285 career hitter. He did hit 22 home runs in a full season. He's only played in 44 games this year because of the injuries. As a pitcher, he's 39-14 with a .255 career ERA. He does have 12 career complete games. I just I don't know. You know, we've seen so many of these guys come over here, and, you know, none of them really were the breakout stars that they were in Japan. I mean, I think Darvish has been okay. Tanaka's been a little up and down. You know, hitting-wise, you know, I mean, who's been the best Japanese hitter to come over here? Was it, you know, Matsuka? Yeah, Ichiro, obviously. Yeah, I thought about Ichiro. But, you know, besides him, yeah, you kind of look and who's next? You know, Hideki Matsui with the Yankees or Kosuke Fukudome? Oh.
The next Ichiro, I mean, Hideki is up there, but, you know, I everyone's excited, but I don't think in any team's right mind you would bring him in to start for you Monday and then DH for you Tuesday through Friday. Especially with most of these American League teams, they already set up with a designated hitter. I mean, if you're going to go that route, you're almost up to the chance of, you know, using the Giants, seeing if, you know, being like the Giants, I mean, and seeing if you can opt out of the DH and see how that works for that day.
So that, you know, that would be interesting. Okay, Dan, here's the list I found of the, they went with 9. I don't know, maybe they couldn't find a 10th one, but they went with 9. All right. At number 9, they went with Shigetoshi Hasegawa. Played for the Angels and the Mariners. 9 years. He was 45-43, a 370 ERA, and he had 33 saves. He was mostly used as a closer. 8, they go with Kazuhiro Suzuki. Spent his entire 4 years with the Mariners. 7-16, a 314 ERA, but did come up with 129 saves. At number 7, and I'm a little surprised they have him this high, Dice K, Dosaki Matsuzaka. You know, he was the big phenomenon. He actually spent 8 years here, 56-43 with a 4.45 ERA. Number 6, and I kind of forgot about this guy, Toma Oka. Played for the Red Sox, the Nationals, the Brewers, the Blue Jays, the Indians in 10 years. 51-68 with a 4.26 ERA. I'm surprised we missed this guy, Dan, especially because he's pitching here in Chicago. Koji Uehara is number 5. He's 20-24 with a 2.53 ERA, but he does have 93 saves. He's been here since 2009. 4 is Yu Darvish. You know, we know about him. 3 is Hideo Nomo. He spent 12 years here. 123-109, a 4.24 ERA. 2 is Hideki Matsui. We kind of nailed that one. And then 1 you knew right away was Ichiro. So those are the 9 they came up with. You know, good, bad, or indifferent, that's, you know, that's it. So I don't know who.
I know you can't really base this new kid's performance on past. But, you know, with those other pitchers, I mean, let's be honest, when you throw the ERA and some of those numbers, Koji Uehara seems to be the best pitcher of them all. I mean, someone who's at 2.5 with an ERA that didn't climb way above 4, you've got to wonder how that would, no pun intended, translate into the American game, you know, the young kid's ERA once he comes over to the States. You know, does it jump a whole point? You know, 1.5. It's fun to be excited, and you got to go scout, and that's what they should be doing. But I don't think every team should be doing that, though.
Yeah, you know, and obviously, there's going to be a big, big price tag on this guy. You know, somebody's going to have to lay out just a, you know, a boatload of money. I mean, I can't even imagine what the numbers are going to look like.
I don't know if they capped everything or, you know, what you could pay an international team. But if you remember, just to be able to go for Jonas, or no, the Yankees spent 50 on it. No, Yankees. The A's spent 50 on his thing. But buying out you, depending on the length of term of this kid's contract, and, you know, just being able to add, you know, add, push the price up, I'm sure you're looking at $25 million plus, and that's probably just the starting point to buy him out and get him over to the States, because you said he's 23. I mean, technically in Japan, he still probably has a good seven to 10 years in Japanese baseball that you're taking away from them.
It's definitely, they didn't list his contract situation, so I don't know if or what or how much, you know, he's actually signed for. So, you know, that's, you know, one of those things that a team will have to figure out. I'm guessing if they're over there scouting, you know they can get a deal done with the team. You know, otherwise you wouldn't really be wasting your time. But, you know, obviously buying the contract out is one thing. Signing him is another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you're probably looking at what? $25 to $30 million a year?
Yeah, a guy. Yeah. And, you know, it's going to be at least a 5-year term.
Yeah, I was going to say, at 23, are you looking at 7 years?
Man, Big Jack, we got in the wrong business. We should have been agents.
Yeah. So, you know, especially now. Well, you've got to be close to a degree in something with that, right? You can't switch over to get going there.
Yeah.
So,
I need a client first.
I say, is it too late for you to change?
Yeah, I think
and
so.
make you know,
yeah, I think I'm past
we
that.
Can't get
you should have said something 10 years ago.
And we can't get jobs at Rock Nation or something and do some work there.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't have the I don't feel like he has the clout. Or even not the clout, but putting it out there. You know, when I signed up to be a wrestler, you should have said, no, why don't you be a sports agent?
heck, I should have known better for myself. You know, yeah. I could have saved myself a lot of trouble. I'd have just went into that line of work and, you know, made it so easy.
It won't be an easy deal for any team. So, I mean, you've got to have a serious, serious player like the Yankees or even the Dodgers to really want to go over there and spend that kind of money. I mean, with the way things work, do you think we'd see him here next year? I don't see him in the first year. I see him possibly, after next season. But you never know what could happen over winter.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely, I mean, you're right on that. I mean, we're talking Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers. The Cubs, of course, should be involved in this. You know, any of the, you know, the big money teams like this, you know, they definitely need to, you know, should be involved if they're not. I mean, you know, it's starting to sound like this guy's a, you know, once in a generation type player, but we'll see how it goes. And, you know, this is the kind of guy the Yankees always seem to land when the Yankees want him. So
do we get a shot, you know, a big surprise again with a team like the Rangers? I don't think they
Yeah, you know,
again,
you
but...
wonder, you know, I do wonder on a guy like this if maybe one of those, you know, under the radar teams slip in. You know, the A's did it with Cespedes. Granted, he was Cuban. You know, but you mentioned the Rangers with Darvish. The Mariners have always had decent luck landing Japanese players. I don't know if, you know, yeah, you know, well, you know, the Angels have the money to do it. It's just a matter of, you know, would they pull the trigger? I mean, I know they've got that, you know, that bad Albert Pujols contract, and of course, somewhere down the line, they're going to have to figure out how the heck to pay Mike Trout. So, you know, that's, you know, that's one of those, you know, things they're just going to kind of have to deal with or figure out. But yeah, you know, there are some, you know, some teams who may get in on this. I mean, when you're, especially when you're looking at this guy that, you know, maybe we won't expect, you know, I mean, you know, the Blue Jays are always saying, you know, I mean, remember we heard that all the offseason, oh, well, we've got money to spend, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, your big free agent signing is bringing Jose Bautista back. So, you know, you wonder if maybe, you know, maybe they do have something and, you know, it's going to, you know, now's the time for them to pull it out.
Sorry, I missed it.
But, yeah, you know, you know, I guess we'll see if he's, you know, a once in a generation player or if he's just, you know, another kind of Japanese guy who didn't manage to live up to what we thought he was gonna, you know, gonna be what, you know, what he was. So
remains to
be seen, I think. Yeah. Oh boy. So all right. Well, you know, before we, I know we're running out of time. We're still looking for some people to fill out our fantasy leagues. We're looking for some people to get in our snake football league. I believe there's four or five openings left there, and we're looking for five or six people to play basketball with us. We run all our leagues through Yahoo. They're completely free. We just kind of do them for bragging rights. But if you want to get in, email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. We'll send you, you know, they're completely free for you to play, you know, no charge. Dan's working on possibly seeing if we can get everybody to pitch in to buy a trophy that we could present to the winner or something, but he hasn't had a lot of luck with it yet. But, yeah, you know, maybe it'll work out. But, again, yeah, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. And, you know, we'll send you the link. Sign up. We'll have some fun. You know, they're always kind of interesting to get into. They are big leagues, especially, you know, 20 teams. So you've got to be, you know, kind of coherent on what's going on there. But, you know, yeah, you should still look into it and maybe join us. All right, music means Dan and I are going to take off. But, hey, we're going to come back tomorrow at 5:30 and do this all again. You know what to do while we're away, though. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Look for that e-blog tomorrow morning. Click over to the Facebook page and give that a like. Don't forget to jump on the Twitter feed, which is @SportsTimeRadio. You can hunt Dan and I down on Twitter as well. We'll always talk to you on there. Big thanks for listening live. You know, Dan and I love when you do that. But don't forget, you can find the podcast anytime you want at TuneIn.com.
More than a delay to schedule this lineup.